Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing on that Tuesday morning 15 years ago today, when you first heard the news of the terrorist attacks in New York City and in Arlington, Virginia? I imagine that most of you over the age of 20 or 25 remember that day quite clearly. A terribly tragic event like that has a way of searing memories surrounding it into our brains, so that they become more or less unforgettable. I remember that day quite clearly. I was in my sophomore year at Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, studying to be a pastor. And I had just come back to my dorm room for a free period after the first hour of class when a friend of mine called out down the hall, "You guys gotta come in here and see this." He was sitting in the TV room, the TV lounge. He said, "A plane just crashed into the World Trade Center in New York City." Well, those of us who were there in that 3 hours spent the rest of that time glued to the television set watching the updates as they unfolded. I don't remember if we went back to our other classes for the remainder of that day or not. I guess I think we probably did. But I imagine that, as I recall, most of the rest of that day was spent pretty much just watching the news coverage as it came in. Fast forward almost 10 years after that day. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing when you first heard the news that Osama bin Laden had been killed by the team of Navy SEALs? Do you remember what your reaction was? Not only had bin Laden admitted to personally directing his followers to carry out the attacks on September 11th against the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, which killed almost 3,000 people in total and injured more than 6,000 other people, and certainly emotionally scarred tens or hundreds of thousands or even millions of more people than that. But also, bin Laden was on the FBI's most wanted list for bombings of U.S. embassies in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and in Nairobi, Kenya, which also killed hundreds of people each. And he was also a wanted criminal in general just for funding and supporting terrorist activities around the world. So were you glad to hear news of bin Laden's death? Do you feel that finally, after all the pain and the suffering that he had caused, he finally got what was coming to him? I remember that I think I said something like, "Yes, they finally got it." Well, just as King David did in some of the Psalms in the Bible, it can certainly be appropriate to pray to God, to ask God to thwart the plans of evil and evil actions of those who are opposed to God and to his will. And we may legitimately rejoice when someone who is hell-bent on doing evil is punished and prevented from carrying out their evil plans, from bringing further harm and destruction. And the government certainly has a God-given right and responsibility to use force to protect the innocent and to punish the evildoer. The Apostle Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, chapter 13, that the government is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. But at the same time, I was also a bit disturbed by my own reaction to the news of bin Laden's death, and then also by some of the reactions that I observed in various places on the internet. Because even though it is appropriate to rejoice when evil is punished and when further evil actions are prevented, yet it is always a tragedy to know that one more soul has entered the eternal fires of hell. cup, which is what happened to Bin Laden when he died, because he had rejected the salvation that God provided through Jesus, by Jesus' death and resurrection. The death of any unbeliever should cause us sadness, just as it causes God to feel sad. And we should never think of ourselves more highly than anyone else, because the statement of the Apostle Paul in our second lesson today applies equally to each one of us. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It would be easy for us to say, oh yeah, Paul, you sure were pretty bad. You directly opposed God's will. You persecuted the early Christians. You went from town to town putting Christians into jail. And you even stood by in approval as that crowd of people stoned Stephen to death, the first Christian martyr. Or it might be tempted to say, well, actually, Paul, you know, you weren't all that bad. In fact, compared to some of the mass murderers of history, you were actually pretty good. Certainly, we would rank Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler as worse people than Paul. But that's not Paul's point. Paul's point is that each person should admit their own sins and their guilt, and realize that no one else is any more sinful in God's eyes than they are. Paul's point is that we shouldn't try to mask or minimize our own sins by comparing them to the sins of some other people, perhaps whose sins are more visible or appear to have caused more suffering to others than our own have. Rather, we should humbly confess our sins to God and realize that without the salvation of Jesus, we would be absolutely and totally lost and condemned to hell. We must realize that in God's eyes, all people, all sins, are equally bad and equally damning. That nobody deserves anything good from God. Nobody deserves anything from being better than anyone else. Because, as God tells us in the Bible, all have sinned. All have fallen short of His glory. We also need to realize that God loves all people equally. Just as no one is any better or any worse than anyone else, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so also there is no one who in any way deserves God's love. And God does not love anyone any more or any less. God loved all people in the whole earth so much that He sent His own Son, Jesus, to bear the punishment for their sins, to death on the cross, and to rise again from the dead, so that all may believe in Him and have eternal life. It's God's will for everyone to be saved. God doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. That's what our gospel reading from Luke 15 shows us so clearly. God loves lost, sinful people so much that He searches for them and goes after them, even when they willingly run away from Him. He looks for them everywhere until He finds them and brings them back. And then He rejoices over them. He rejoices that they have come to faith in Jesus as their Savior. He rejoices that their eternal fate has been changed from damnation in the fires of hell to salvation in the eternal joys and glories of heaven. As Christians, we too rejoice when someone comes to faith in Jesus as their Savior. But I think that sometimes we aren't always as concerned about finding and rescuing the lost as Jesus Himself is. In fact, sometimes we can be rather like the Pharisees in the reading today. Jesus was teaching and eating meals with people who have lived sinful lifestyles, like the tax collectors, for example, which the reading mentions. Very often, tax collectors made extra money by cheating people, by taking more taxes from people than they were supposed to, and then keeping themselves. Zacchaeus repented of his ways, and he promised to return all of the money that he had cheated, even fourfold what he had cheated from people. Such people were scorned and reviled by the upstanding religious leaders of that time. And it's true that most people had done openly sinful things. And it's true that they needed to repent. But that's exactly why Jesus came to earth, to rescue the lost, to seek and to save those who were headed to hell because of their sins, to call them to repentance and to faith, so that their fate will be changed, so that they go to heaven instead of to hell. The Pharisees were just as sinful as those tax collectors and other more open sinners. The sins of the Pharisees may not have been as obvious from the outside, but they were equally as sinful in the eyes of God. Because God looks not only at the outward sins, but also the sins of thoughts and desires of the heart. Sometimes we act in the same way. It's not comfortable to admit it, but all of us have a little Pharisee living inside of us, in our hearts. A part of us that is more concerned with keeping up appearances rather than with helping people to find Jesus and to know him as their Savior. Jesus taught God's word to people that we might not be willing to go here. My first year in China, I met a man who was a taxi driver. And in China, there is a widespread problem of prostitution. Officially, the government prohibits prostitution, but there are many places, massage parlors with pink lights, which is the sign that it's not an average massage parlor, but one that offers special services. My friend who was a taxi driver knew the city very well from driving his taxi. And he also got to know people who worked at massage parlors like that with pink lights. And he heard some of their stories, that some of them would try to go to the public church, the government-sponsored church there in that city, but they were told that they weren't welcome there because of the way that they looked, the way that they dressed. And he had a heart for reaching those people and helping them to know Jesus as their Savior. Those people who were rejected by others, others who called themselves Christians, who probably didn't believe in Jesus, but who were not able to love in the same way that Jesus loved. So as I think about that, and I think about our city here, as I've driven around visiting various shut-in members and other places in the city, it's impossible to miss the large number of billboards that advertise strip clubs, gentlemen's clubs, which are anything but gentlemanly. How many of those signs are there? How many of those establishments are there? How many people are there in the city who work at establishments like that? Or gang members, certainly we all know about the gang violence that takes place and other ruffianism in the city and the death toll that is a result. How would we react if we met, bumped into someone who worked at an establishment was involved in something like that? Would we turn up our nose and look the other way? Would we talk to them and try to get to know them, love them with a heart like Jesus that loves them and their eternal soul, that recognizes them as someone for whom Jesus died, who he wants them to know Jesus as their Savior, to repent of their sins? For all those times when we have not, we repent, we confess our sins to God, and we ask Him to forgive us. And we remember just how lost each one of us had been before Jesus came and rescued us. being lost in sin to knowing the great joy of Jesus' forgiveness and God's amazing grace to you. But even if you have grown up as a believer, certainly there are times, there have been times in your life when you have wandered away from God. And in fact, every day we do that when we follow our sinful desires and wander away from God. But every day God comes to us through His Word. He leads us to recognize our sins and to repent of our sins and to look to Jesus and salvation that He brings. He leads us to treasure that rescue that Jesus has provided for us. And even though we have wandered away, Jesus never gave up on us. He never stopped searching until He brought us back to Him, until He brought us to repent and to trust again in His forgiveness. So it's my prayer that that love of God for you, that His great rescue for you when you were lost, and you get lost each day and He brings you back, that that will motivate you to show that same kind of love to everyone in our community, to everyone you may meet, no matter how distasteful their actions might be, no matter how truly hurtful their words and actions might be. I pray that God will use all of us to show His amazing mercy and love to everyone that we meet, so that more and more people may know Jesus as that wonderful one who loves them and never stops serving.